There was a fire burning constantly on the Mizbeach altar, which means there had to be wood to feed that fire. Without that wood, you wouldn't have the fire, you would not be able to bring korbanos. So, is the wood just a facilitator? Is it part of the korban? Or does it have its own intrinsic value? Depending on how we look at this, we'll determine a different perspective on our own spiritual service of Hashem. It's all from this week's parasha. From the Pasuk, V'nefesh ki sakriv korban mincha goyme, the parasha this week that says, if a person brings a korban mincha, on a shteitnit ki sakriv mincha, instead of just simply saying a person who brings mincha, we know that it's offerings, because you've said sakriv. Let me know in Teras Kehanim. The Teras Kehanim tells us that this teaches us as men came and not design us korban b'fnatzme, that there are other things that we could dedicate as a korban, independent korban to the Beis Hamikdash. Hoich levoino, the spice of levoino, yayin shemen, wine and oil. V'chakumen tzazav meat and korban, even though they normally accompany the korban, you can actually dedicate them as independent korbanos of their own. And the one that we're going to focus on oich etzim, you could dedicate wood as an offering to the Mizbech. Stav Vashtein, we have to understand this. Bishlama, we understand those was the word korban kemarbizan levoino and yain veshemen as korban bifnei atzma is move on. The fact that the word korban could be expanded to mean that oil or levoino or wine is considered a korban, that makes sense. The Balmen brings se belavoche al satel from a korban, because we know that under normal circumstances they are part of the korban offering. So it's not a stretch to say, and they could be a korban on their own. Vazeoich vashet the korban. So they're part of the ingredients of the korban. Amzeif zich dusha. Undem Shem carbon, so they have the holiness of a carbon and they have the name designation of a carbon. That makes sense. What doesn't make so much sense is Viazoi Kemenaber from the word carbon marbazine nidvas eitzim. How does the word carbon reflect wood? When is wood part of a carbon? Oil is part of a carbon. Wine is part of a carbon. Velchazain netachelik from carbonus. The wood is not part of the carbon. So Gemara Vekebrach, the Gemara Menachis brings as follows. Carbon, that we learn from this word carbon that you're allowed to bring eitzim, wood, as a donation, as an offering in the Mizbeach. V'chein oimer, and he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk tells us in Nehemiah, v'agirol is hipalna al carbon. We made lots over who was going to bring the carbon. Which carbon? Carbon eitzim, the donation of wood to the pyre on the Mizbeach. Rashi explains, v'chein oimer, the eitzim, carbon, mikru. This indicates to us that a carbon, that the word carbon can also apply to wood on the Mizbeach. Thus, in other words, Bebald Mingifin Pasuk, Deitzim, Carbon Mikruf. Seeing as there's the Pasuk that says, Carbon Ho Eitzim, Kendavot Carbon Marbazine Eitzim, Rashi is telling us that obviously means that the word carbon can be expanded to include wood as well, which appears to be what the Torah's Kohanim is learning out of the Pasuk in this week's parasha. Aber, the thing is, Das is not a Raya. That just proves to us that this is the fact, that the Torah does designate wood as a carbon. However, we need to know, I mean, gefilt a pasuk for eitzim carbon mikru, we find a pasuk that refers to wood as a carbon. But adayin timer boy, we need to understand why that would be. V'avos zolun eitzim eitzim carbon. What about wood would constitute a carbon? Of a medekens and nichol verin in dem loshen takriv carbon, and therefore could be incorporated in the word carbon. So yes, the Torah is telling me that, which is great. But why? I get the logic of why oil or wine or levoina, which are in a way part of a carbon, logically could be a carbon on their own. But what about wood? Especially Zayzan and Dochnar, I'm in a Hechsha mitzvah carbon. Wood really just seems to be a necessary implement to be able to bring the carbon. If you don't have wood, you don't have fire, you don't have a carbon. The carbons are Kenneth Fabrentvern. We need the carbon to burn. For that, you're going to need wood, you're going to need fire. Nobody's suggesting that fire is a carbon. If we had any indication somewhere in the Torah that wood is brought not as a facilitator of a carbon, but as an ingredient of a carbon, okay, fine, that would prove our point that yes, wood is called a carbon. As therefore, carbon is marbay chaitzim, and therefore, when the Torah uses the word carbon, mincha could also include that one of the types of offering is wood. It's not what we have seen evidence of. So how do we know, and for what reason should wood be constitute a carbon? Void loisif in dem akol parim bedakas, and one more subtle point on this. The pasuk of agirolosi palnal carbon or eitzim, the pasuk we're quoting from Nehemiah, which is ostensibly the proof that the word carbon relates to wood as well. Red vegan carbon eitzim itahei hayadia was not describing a regular carbon. It was describing that specific donation of wood for the mizbeach. Yes, it's your door from fear. As the door accommodates him, that's all the poskas is gebrachivar and all the gerolis. Or the fact that it's designated as carbon ho eitzim, that means you already know that there's such a thing as carbon eitzim. And we're just telling you the story how at this particular point in history they determined who was going to bring that carbon. Signor nacher, to say it in different words. Das, was mir hat Dömmel gebracht, hat kommen Eizem, ist am Esube von dem Limit. But there's kind of a Gemara, as misnad ven Eizem. The fact that in the story of Nehemiah, they brought wood as a carbon, is not a proof that wood equals a carbon. It is because we already know that wood equals a carbon. So this is what we would call circular reasoning, if you're going to use that pasuk to justify the Torah's Kahanim, which apparently is giving us the logic for why they had that story of that pasuk in the first place. It's logically backward. How do you bring proof from the outcome of something to why that should be the outcome? So how do we know that wood can be called a carbon, can constitute a carbon? Maybe one way that we could have answered it is as follows. Let's just gather a bit of introductory information. Maybe the answer is there are two types of donation of wood that could happen to the Mizbeach. Aleph nidvas eitzim lemayroch, the most logical, which is you're donating wood so that there could be a pyre on the Mizbeach, which you could light in order to bring carbonus. Eitzim vasmiot genutz eif machana ishra mayroch al gabe amizbeach, evachum is makib to carbonus, right? The fire which you use on the Mizbeach in order to bring carbonus. Or, beis, mizdi eitzim gufa makib of Mizbeach, also carbon bifinasim. Maybe there's a possibility of actually coming to the Mizbeach and just putting wood on the Mizbeach as a carbon, not to facilitate the burning of a different carbon. Now, is that possible? Yes, it is. There is that possibility, and there's a valid opinion that argues that the donation or the offering of wood is not necessarily to fire up the fire for the korbanos, but rather it's a donation of wood as you would bring flour or as you would bring an animal. And a really good expression of this opinion is Vidashita von Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion in Gemara Menachos is as Yaitzim Haman ala dinim funa carbon. If you do bring wood as an offering, according to this opinion, as a carbon, you have to follow the laws of a carbon, which is Tunim Melach, there has to be salt that accompanies it, which tells you that it's a carbon. Hagosha, you have to formally bring it to the Mizbeach. Kmitza, you have to separate a piece, which is actually what you burn. Eitzim Tzrichim, Eitzim would need other wood in order to burn this wood, so that it's clear that this wood is not fuel, this wood is the carbon. And the Ravid understands that the Rabbanon, who don't hold that all of those things are required like Rebbe does, still believe that it's possible for wood to be a carbon. The chilek is nor vasek the rabbanon signed by the eitzim nitod dinim anal vasis nintet ken carbon gomur viladas. Rabbi, the distinction would be that the rabbanon do not require all the other details that a carbon normally has to have, because unlike Rabbi, the rabbanon don't consider it a full blown type of a carbon, although it is a carbon. So, with that information, knowing that there are two possibilities of how you could bring carbon eitzim, either to burn other carbonos, or because the wood is the carbon. So with that information, maybe we've got our answer. The pasuk in Nehemiah that says they made lotteries about who was going to bring the wood. Retoch is describing people donating wood to be used for the other carbonos on the Mizbeach. Because the context over here is the reason they had to make a lottery is because they didn't have ready wood in the Beis HaMikdash on standby for the Korbanos. The Gemara tells us what happened over there. There was no storage of wood, and so there were various families who came forward to donate wood, and then they had to make a goyel who goes first, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a later part of the Sikha. So now we know that there is wood which is being donated in order to facilitate korbanos on the Mizbeach, and that the Tanakh is identifying as a carbon. That teaches us that wood, which is part of the sacrificial process, as the wood pyre on the Mizbeach, that's called a carbon, because it's part of the carbon. Can defy the word carbon, marbas and eitzim, as we can say, oich bifnasim bringen al sakarbon eifin mizbech. And then we've got the same logic that we had about the wine and the oil and the levoina. If they can be part of a carbon, they can be called a carbon, therefore they could be brought independently as a carbon. Same thing with wood. The wood, which is part of a carbon, is called a carbon, therefore you could bring it when it's not part of a carbon, and it would be considered a carbon. Sounds like a great answer, except ober. First of all, Noisif Lazeh, as I am done, as my Kamakrib Sanitim alam is Bech as a carbon if Natsman. Let's go with this view that it is possible to bring wood as an independent carbon. So it actually sounds like what was going on at the time of Nehemiah wasn't only that there were families who stepped up to say, we're going to donate the missing wood so that you can have korbanos. It would actually sound like they also brought wood to offer on the Mizbeach as well, and the Ritva actually says that. But besides that, it's like that there, as the din from Misnadvin Eitzim Adas Abonim, is Baal Elamed Asesim Gzirin Kraven and Hechsha Korbanos Alam Ayrocha. But if we're going to go with the opinion of the Rabbanon, who don't have that strong view like Rebbe that the wood on the Mizbeach brought independently is exactly like a korban with all of the rules of a korban, but rather those branches of wood that are brought onto the Mizbeach are there in order to facilitate korbanos and therefore are considered sacrificial as well, come to Chayis, as the din from Misnadvin Eitzim is the Zelba Inan V, Avagirolis upon that korban Eitzim. Well, if that's the attitude we're going to go with, then actually the story in Nehemiah about people bringing wood so that they could bring korbanos and the principle of bringing wood as a korban is actually the same thing. In which case, is Hajakusha Reduchta, we're back to square one. Why, on what basis, would you believe that wood is considered a korban? So it was a nice theory to say it's because there is an opinion who says you could bring wood independently as a korban. However, it doesn't really fit with the context of the pasuk and certainly the opinion of the Rabban. So we're back to square one. How do we know that wood independently could be called a korban? In the absence of clear words in the Tanakh somewhere that tell us that korban is a word you could apply to wood, if there's no scriptural basis, then there has to be logical basis. Let's work this out logically. The logic says, when you put wood onto the Mizbech, light it, and then put a korban on it, the wood and the korban are burning up together. So therefore, Zayin is our tail from the korban. Then in the same way as the accompanying oil or wine or Navoina becomes part of the korban, so does the wood, because the combustion affects them both simultaneously. That's the logic. But to just solidify that perspective, the Gemara also quotes a pasuk, just to kind of really, you know, ground for us that this is a valid opinion. Also, we see in a pasuk that the Torah attributes the word carbon to wood as well. Not because that explains why that attribution is correct, but it just kind of solidifies for us that this is an appropriate way to refer to your offering of wood. But there's still a question which is via zoi. So there's this far logic, which if it's being burnt up with the carbon, it's considered part of the carbon. What is that logic to say, just because the wood is burning along with the carbon, it is now considered a carbon? Let's go back to one of the things we said right at the beginning, which is probably the logic most people would apply to the wood. The wood facilitates the carbon. Much more logical than saying it is the carbon. The only way to bring a carbon is to have fire, which requires wood. So what's going on over here? How are we to view and understand why wood would be considered a carbon? Now, in order to understand this, Rebbe is going to draw our attention to the fact that when it comes to the wood of the Mizbeach, we're going to see something really, really fascinating about the attitude and the emotion around the wood that was provided for the Mizbeach. We find something absolutely astounding with regards to the donation of wood for the Mizbech. The Mishnah tells us in Tainis that there were 9 different times during the course of the year where people would donate wood towards the Mizbech. But the Gemara does masbir, and the Gemara explains, this reference we've had in Sefer Nehemiah, that when the Yidden came back to Eretz Yisrael after the Golus, they were missing, they didn't have wood in the storehouses. So there were certain families who stepped up to the plate and said, here, we're going to bring wood and donate it to the Mizbeach. Now, what happened when they donated it to the Mizbeach? This is where we're going to see the attitude, and this is where we're going to see the emotion around wood for the Mizbeach. So what happened is, in the farot, metakin given as b'chol shana v'shana, zolam mishpoch is bringing eitzim in themselves and tog, ven zahavim gebrach eitzim b'pah mori shana. So the Gemara goes on to explain that on an annual basis, those families who stepped up to the plate, who brought wood for the Mizbeach, were allowed to donate wood to the Mizbeach every single year on that same date. Here's the thing. We would override the fact that you could have an overflowing storehouse of wood. If it's their time to bring the wood, they get to use their wood on the Mizbeach. And more than that, the Gemara then goes on to tell us that this became a personal Yom Tov for whichever family it was who was presenting wood on that particular day. And it's a day that they were not allowed to eulogize or fast, or they were not allowed to work. It was really a Yom Tov for them. To the extent that the Gemara tells us that if that particular year Tisha B'Av had been deferred from Shabbos, and now it's somebody's time to bring the korban, that family would be excused from fasting Tisha B'Av. Now, what's the big simcha? Why this great Yom Tov over the fact that they're donating wood? I mean, it sounds like a fairly menial thing, donating wood, which is necessary to burn fire so that you can consume korbanos on the Mizbech. What's the big simcha? To the extent that it's such a great simcha that it can even override a deferred Tisha B'Av. What's going on over here? So certainly the Achronim point out as the time for the Simcha is nit tzulib the nidva so'itim l'marocha kiv shili atzma. So the Achronim point out that it's not that they were celebrating the fact that now family X is donating wood that can be used in order to facilitate korbanos. But rather it's because part of the way that the family brought this wood for the Mizbeach is they also brought dedications of karbonos to the Mizbeach. And the fact is that halachically on the day that a person is required to bring a korban, or sorry, a person elects to bring a korban, on that day it is a Yom Tov for them. So that's the reason it's a Yom Tov. Okay, sounds good, except this is not a sovereign glatic. It's not absolutely clear. Because yes, you could say practically, the reason there's a Yom Tov is because they brought Nadava offerings. Okay, so then we're back to the same question really. Why did they bring Olin offerings and Nadava offerings? The fact that we chose to bring, or that they had to then bring Olus and Dava on that particular day, is because they donated wood. So we're back to the same point. What's so exciting about donating wood that it compels you to want to bring these offerings, these korbanos to the Mizbeach? Nochmer, the fact that this could then override the fast of Tisha B'Av. It's not because they brought oilos nedava and they override the fast, because then in theory, anytime I didn't want to fast, I would just donate a korban, right? But in our talk, when we mechuv to fasten, we don't need matter machen to bring down an oilos nedava stam und in deuche sein dem tainis. Nobody was going to suggest that we now have a loophole, we have a workaround, we don't have to fast a day like a Tisha B'Av nitche, because just bring a korban nedava. We know that that's not the case. So the reason that they are not fasting is not a result of bringing the korban nedava, nor. Rather, the fact that this is their set time to bring the korbanos, as in Dem Tov, that became a day that is fixed in their annual calendar when they bring dedication offerings to the Mizbeach. Is this b'meila doichen dem tainis, and therefore that overrides the fast, which really means we need to understand what is so special and joyous about bringing wood for the Mizbeach that overrides fasts like the Tisha B'Av Nidche. We really need to understand it. Mit was is nit was etzem azaynen godol. What about bringing wood is so spectacular? As lidem otman kevergven di yomim tevim von zman atzik koyanim v'ha'om. That for that they established a special time, a time to bring korbana, to bring the wood and the coupling korbanas. Bizas durch dem vet nitche de tainis von Tisha B'Av nitche. To the extent that it's so fixed on the calendar as this happy day that it could potentially override Tisha B'Av. So what is so exciting about bringing wood for the Mizbeach? Now, Nosef, to the Simcha was given in the Zman for Nidvas Oitzim, what might surprise us more is, okay, I get it. Maybe there's something really joyous about having the opportunity to be able to contribute to what's going to allow the korbanos to happen. That actually makes sense. But more than that, Gefintman, Ayin Shal Simcha Oichen dem Zman von Krisas Oitzim, we actually find that there's a designation of Simcha to the time when they would cut the wood that would eventually land up on the Mizbeach. Now that's a little further removed and makes it more surprising that it should be a time of Simcha. The Gemara sagt, we know this, the Gemara tells us also in Tainis, Azeinu von der Taimim, with the Simcha von Chamishas Ba'av, what is one of the reasons that there was such great celebration on the 15th of Av, to the extent that it's the greatest Yom Tov of the entire year. because it was the day when they concluded the process of cutting wood for the Mizbeach. To which the Rishonim explain, well, the big simcha is because now this job is done. It's a really important job. It's a very big contribution to the Mizbeach, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the whole ritual of Judaism, and now it's complete. Therefore, there's this massive simcha. And even though it's one of the reasons why the 15th of Av is such a joyous day, it might well be the main reason. Because the Mishnah was a Mishnah to tell us about Chamisha Asabav. That there were no greater festivals on the Jewish calendar than Chamisha Asabav and Yom Kippur. Okay, move on from Bira Marisha. And when you look at the perspective of the Marisha, as the Tzvein Yonavos, the Mishnah brings B'Shaychus to the Simcha V'Yomtev, what is it, says the Marashah, that the Gemara tells us is the cause or the catalyst for this great Simcha on these days? B'Yom Chasunos is a Matan Torah. It's because there's an association with the day that Hashem describes as His marriage to the Jewish people, the day of the giving of the Torah. B'Yom Simchas Libo is a Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the day where Hashem's Simcha was radically increased, which is the day the Beis HaMikdash was built. So those two things, says the Marashal, Zanim Frabun miti tzvei teg von tubov on Yom Kippurim. Those two principles are linked to these two dates. Mat and Torah men kippur shrashi. The link between giving the Torah and one of these dates is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim shenitim by luchos ha'achronos, because Yom Kippur is when we got the second luchos, which is the real experience of Matan Torah in terms of taking it on board, as opposed to just being exposed to the divine revelation of the original Matan Torah. This is where we get the Torah and we can actually start to learn and apply it. On Beis HaMikdash, and then the Marashal says, what's the link between the Beis HaMikdash and Chamisha Asabav, which is going to be relevant to our conversation? Chamisha Asabav Koi, Shetame Simchosoitlim Bebin HaMikdash, because what is the great simcha of the 15th of Av? The construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so now we've got a link that somehow goes from the 15th of Av to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, which did not happen at that time of the year. So what's the link? So was the einzige Sach mit was tu be avhot a shaykhes gluye zu bin amigdash is, the most overt connection between the 15th of Av and the Beis HaMikdash is, was das der yom she poskum lich seit in my rocha she be migdash, because that's the day they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. So Chamisha Asabav being this really joyous day, this special day in the Jewish calendar, is linked to what? Cutting wood for the Mizbeach. What is so exciting about cutting wood for the Mizbeach? What is so exciting about bringing wood to the Mizbeach? So it really doesn't seem to make sense. Yes, of course. Cutting wood that you're going to use in the Mizbeach is a very important mitzvah because it's such a central part of the whole Jewish experience. But as we've said a few times already in the Sicha, surely the wood is only there to facilitate the real mitzvah, which is the bringing of karbonis. It's a secondary element. The primary element is bringing the karbonos. Why are we celebrating the facilitator rather than the actual mitzvah? How is it possible that this idea of cutting wood is such a big issue in Judaism and such a central issue in Judaism? Bizas the shafta yom tovas is gresif and alle andere yomim tovim, to generate a yom tov that outstrips all the other yom tovs on the calendar. Basis by the carbonus atman, whereas the actual carbonus, which this wood is there for, we don't find any evidence that the carbonus themselves create this tremendous simcha and yomta by the Jewish people. What is so unique about the wood of the Mizbeach, the presentation of that wood, and the cutting of that wood? So, to get there, we're going to explore the Ramban's explanation of what you're supposed to think when you bring a carbon, which is essentially, that could have been me. Shlomo de Biren, the explanation is Yodur de Azboras Ramban in the Minyan from Karbonis. The Ramban famously explains that what are Karbonis all about? As Dervos brengt a carbon, the person who's offering the carbon, Pshas Maise, da Pshas Maise, Vatrachen sich, as dos was de Kerve Chloyus, Kuroim, von dem Karbon, Verem, Fabrent. The fact that he's watching, or at least is conscious of the fact, that the innards and the organs and the limbs of this animal are being burnt, and we're sprinkling the blood of that carbon onto the Mizbeach, is says the Ramban, because the person has to reflect on the fact that actually, based on the way I behave, I deserve to have my blood, God forbid, spilt on the Mizbeach. And body burnt. But the Eibishte is compassionate and kind and therefore allowed us the opportunity of a replacement, a substitute. Domoi, tachas domoi, nefesh, tachas nefesh, chulei. That blood represents mine, and that soul represents my life, and Baruch Hashem. So the Gevona of a Korban is, in other words, what the Ramban is telling us, the goal and purpose of a Korban is, as they mentioned, zich makrib zayin zum Eibishte. Not that the person should just stand there and say, phew, it wasn't me, but rather to say, I need to get closer to the Eibishte, because the way I am right now, I don't really deserve much in my life. No, the Eibishte hod giton achesem itonim ki akriv on hati akrav gashm habitne v'akrav sabehim v'chulei. So the Eibishte, in his great kindness to us, decided to allow us the opportunity that instead of us actually being the korban in order to come close to Hashem, we bring an animal as a korban to facilitate us coming closer to Hashem. But the akrav dafem eirazain. But the key thing is, it's not a spectator sport. Bringing the carbon is supposed to arouse us as er zol zay nefesh makriv zayin ruchnis to meibishlin, that we should be willing to sacrifice ourselves spiritually for Hashem. And so that's going to help us understand this point. If a carbon is all about bringing ourselves closer to Hashem, then we get why the wood being burnt together with a carbon is highly significant. Karbonos teilen sich in verschiedene Sugim. As we know, there are many types of karbonos, and therefore the specifics of the carbon will, of course, influence whatever else accompanies the carbon. Depending on what carbon it is, we'll have different laws. And oil has to be burned completely. The mincha, you take a kmitza. Each one has its own laws. Which then, in the light of the Ramban's explanation, means this. As das was jeder Sug Korban od seine Dinim miyuchodim is val ze dafke seine matem zum tachlis von dem Korban. The reason this Korban has these laws is because these laws help this Korban achieve its unique purpose. Was der Korban daf uftan in dem odem amakriv. And that Korban is supposed to impact the person bringing the Korban in a very specific way. Welchen Teil von sich eres makriv zum Eibishten, to guide that person to bring a particular part of themselves closer to Hashem. Was das wesen zu der Sibbe von dem Korban, kapora if achet nedova v'chulei, which of course will be dependent on why the person's bringing the Korban. So if the person is bringing the Korban in order to atone for an Aveira, that would be one particular facilitation, which relates to one particular part of the person. Whereas if a person is stepping up to donate of their own accord, that's going to be another experience of the human being and another part of the human being that's being involved in it. You can see this clearly in the Ramban's words. Here he is talking about the generic elements that apply to all karbanos. The fact that there's parts of the karban that have to be burnt. All the blood has to be sprayed on the mizbeach. Even though those are generic features, they're actually not in every single karban. Because by a korban mincha ledugme, zaynidi pratim nito. If you're bringing a korban mincha, there's no blood and there's no limbs and organs. So therefore, a mincha is obviously not speaking to elevating a person's organs or blood in order to come closer to Hashem. So we need to understand and appreciate that every single korban speaks to a particular part of who we are and facilitates that part of us getting closer to Hashem. Whereas on the other hand, there will be a common denominator, which is the foundation of all korbanos, which is the principle, was the Adam is makriv zich zum Eibishten, the principle of the person bringing themselves closer to Hashem. Das heißt, zum Allem Eibishten muss bei Adam sein die klolistische Greatkeit zu sich meuse nefesh sein zum Umfahren Eibishten. Before you can bring the Korban, like, nobody's going to come along to the Mizbeach with some blood. You have to be willing to designate this entire animal to the Korban, to Hashem. And by the same token, the person wants to bring a particular part of themselves more aligned with what Hashem wants, closer to Hashem, has to start up with a general headspace that's quite broad to say, overall, I want to dedicate, hand myself over to the Eibishter, sacrifice for the Eibishter. And then once that happens, then then the person's not caught up in just one piece of the puzzle. They've actually taken the core and essence of who they are, and they have completely handed over and dedicated that to Hashem. Now, when you get to the specifics of the korban, then nor by yedn su korban vert ot di akrov fnetzim nasha uzgedik bepoil in fashidne protim from the mention. When I get to the point where I'm actually bringing the korban, then that overarching dedication to Hashem is now being channeled through a very specific korban representing a specific part of the person, which is aligning that specific part of the person to Hashem. That gives us a tremendous insight into the symbolism and significance of the wood on the Mizbeach, which accompanies every individual korban. Das ist die Tumura von der Kolostika Tzadashava HaKrova von der Modem HaMakrib zum Eibishan, was fordert sich bei jedem Korban. The specific Korban, that is my representative of this part of myself that I should be working on bringing closer to Hashem. The wood, which facilitates all Korbanos across the board, and therefore is a generic principle or a core principle of all Korbanos, that represents the core principle of me overall at the essence of my being, coming close and wanting to connect to Hashem. And that, by the way, would be a reason why the symbolism is linked specifically to wood, because Torah compares us not to wood per se, but where wood comes from. Because the pasuk tells us that human beings are comparable to trees. And Adam is a tzasad, not only comparable, the person is a tree. Thus says, and eitz drikt ois niplois like visen tail or the protein from the modem. That means to tell us that a tree does not just represent certain facets or elements of the human being, not the ganze zach von Adam, but it encapsulates everything about what a human being is. Und wer kreit baruch ab mokim macher, as dafkin zu merch eitz shebe Adam, zogt sich aris di pnimius anefesh. There's a different sicha chedik yuzayin, where the Rebbe talks about the fact that the eitz, which has the faculty of growth, and maybe is not as sophisticated as the animal that has the faculty also of freedom of movement and the possibility of some level of intellect, but what the tree represents is growth. That is the core of a human being. That in order for a tree to grow, it always has to be tethered to and connected to its source, and that's a key principle of the human being. In order for me to develop and grow, whatever, I have to be in touch with the essence of my own neshama, with the deepest part of my own neshama. So now we can look from a deeper perspective. Now we can start to understand why bringing the wood to the Mizbeach actually generates more simcha than the carbon for which the wood was brought. Why is that? First of all, because it helps us to understand that, not like we would have imagined, the wood is not simply just the facilitation of a korban. Actually, that wood is the core of what korbanos is all about. It is the principle that korbanos represent in specifics. This is the principle in its most generalized form. Hakrava, coming close and connecting to Hashem. Now, in that principle, we can actually look at a number of specifics. And if the chilukim zwischen der Akrava Klolis von dem Odem, was wird euch gedickt in Sefer Seitz am Airocha. So one of the differences between this overarching movement from myself towards Hashem, which is represented by the wood coming onto the Mizbeach, and the Akrava Pratis versus the very specific nuances of which part of me aligns with which kind of relationship Hashem, and that part being Behesem Tzim Prati HaKom Vas Deodem bring, that is obviously relative to the specific type of korban the person is bringing. So one of the differences is this. Let's say the person is focused on a particular area of their life that they want to improve and they want to align with Hashem. So it's a piece of who I am. So when you're very focused on a specific part of me that needs to improve, doesn't allow me to escape me because I'm focused on me. This part of me has to improve. It has to connect. It has to align. So the capacity for this person to totally relinquish self and be willing to sacrifice for Hashem is very much linked to a specific process relating to a specific part of the human being. And of course, then there are the other parts that are kind of out of the picture at this point. So yes, the person is 100% dedicated and committed and doing for Hashem, and at the same time, actually hiding the fact that they are fundamentally at the core of their being willing to be dedicated to Hashem. But when a person has this overarching, generalized, I'm connecting and aligning with Hashem, This is a person that says, I'm completely dedicated to Hashem. Demult is by me to us is al Mesiris Nefesh. Well, then there's nothing that can block the Mesiris Nefesh. Because it's not saying this part of me is now being dedicated and submissive to Hashem, and therefore other parts of me might still get in the way. The Hakrava Klolis is a person saying, all of me is focusing and moving towards connection and Bittul and Mesiris Nefesh. So Dan is a serious unasina versus hecha von cheshbenes von seichel oderegesh. That's going to produce the kind of commitment and dedication that is way beyond what is rational or emotional. I feel a seichel oderegesh dusha v'chayotze was even the holiest motivation of the mind or the holiest sensation of the heart. It's way beyond that. On dos is the time for was the eitzim shebechol korban. That's why the wood which accompanies every single korban, that's the power of why it's not actually part of the korban. It's the precursor to the korban. Because it's bigger than what the specific korban is going to do. It's the headspace that's going to get that korban aligned. And that will explain why the simcha associated with them bringing the wood is so powerful, to the extent that the celebration associated with bringing this wood could even override a deferred Tisha B'Av. They're not having simcha because, oh, we're bringing other korbanos, and when you bring a korban adava, it's a yom tov, so that's the simcha. Or like the Ritva says, because you're bringing wood, which is a form of korban. Now the sibi is dafka di etzem nidvas oitzem the mayrocha kenal sifdalet. The simcha over here is because we're facilitating, we're creating the foundation on which karbonos will be built. And that's worth tremendous simcha. Because what is the indication that a person is truly dedicating themselves to the Eibishter? Is the ibe gegeben kai zu machshir karbon mitzvah, is that the person is not only enthusiastic and dedicated to doing the mitzvahs, but even the things that are the facilitation for those mitzvahs. That shows real dedication. If I am willing to, or I'm absolutely dedicated to the so-called peripheral or precursor elements, as I am to the mitzvah itself. That means it's not about me, it's about the Eibishter. When I bring the korban from Mizbeach, because when I'm bringing a korban, I feel as a korban was vert in ganz verbrennt oila. Once I'm it says vert bottle, even if the korban I'm bringing is an oila where nothing is left for me or even for the kohanim, can the makrif tracht and the person who's bringing the korban can actually think, as chodsh dolomate is I mitzvah's bottle. Yeah, look what happened over here. I did something without anything in return. Completely relinquished my animal. I completely dedicated myself to Hashem. The person will still think, hot error, but it get on. But look what I did. I achieved the korban oila. As if it fun rechnich ech Hashem nachas ruch lefon Hashem mati vel nais terutzoini. I generated nachas for Hashem through my korban. So there's still a sense of I in all of that. Mashen gedatza ma'arocha. Whereas when a person is now donating the wood for the mizbeach, vos by zegev imenitas durch zeir sefer vekilian ifem mizbeach ufketar rechnich ech Hashem. The Torah doesn't give us any guarantees that when the wood we bring onto the mizbeach burns, that gives Hashem this tremendous nachas. We don't say that. Oviyachdim zeir is a sefer boifen as zeverin ganzen ois mitzias. And the way that you burn the wood on the mizbeach is you burn it till it's gone. Is the bainy to the hegashatsmoy, and the heraz zeituno forechnichech lavaya. The person doesn't walk out of that with any personal satisfaction. I generated pleasure for Hashem. I managed to do something spectacular. No, I didn't. I just did something that's a facilitation for something else that is spectacular. Zer piule is, was er machshe gewen as a zweite sach, the korban zuluftan anachas ruch lefonai. What I did is I created the opportunity for something else to generate nachas for Hashem. And that's something else. Maybe I don't even involve myself in it. This is emphasized in the way that the donation of wood worked. As the uftum from another side, the eitzim is bashanin in the meglechen as a zweiten insol kenen bringen a korban and goyim zanachas ruch lefonai. The whole principle of donating wood to the mizbeach is not for yourself. The whole principle of donating the wood is so somebody else will have the opportunity to bring a korban and they will have the great experience of causing Hashem nachas. Und die Gretkeit sich erwecken, für Hazza inyen ist der Beweis auf dem Bittum des Nefesh beschleimes kommen Hashem. That is an indicator of absolute dedication and commitment to Hashem. True, Masiris Nefesh. I'm not in it for me. I don't get a pat on the back. I don't get a spiritual rush. All I'm doing is facilitating somebody else having what I would love to experience. So what have we seen so far? A korban is a very spiritual experience. It's very focused. It talks to a part of the human being. And it gives us still this sense of self-satisfaction. Whereas the word for the Mizbeach is much more broad. And it speaks to the idea of an overall dedication to Hashem. And it doesn't leave us with that sense of, ah, that was great. But there's even a step beyond that. Aber achrei kol ze, is afil de yim vonid vasayitzim noch nit der schlemmestige Beweis, if dem schlemmestigen abweglegt zum Eibishnen. Bringing wood as a donation to the Mizbeach, so somebody else could bring a korban, is still not the ultimate state of dedication to Hashem. Why not? Yes, the person doesn't walk out of there patting themselves on the back and saying, look what I did. But there is some level of personal satisfaction. There's a great feeling. I took wood, was able to transform it to become something holy, which is now part of the Beis HaMikdash, and helping other people to be able to bring korbanos. That is a good thing. That's an achievement. The ultimate state of coming close and dedicating to the Eibishter without mixing in any personal agenda happens at the time you're cutting the wood from the trees. You're nowhere near the Beis HaMikdash. It's not like bringing the wood to the Beis HaMikdash. You're in a holy environment. You're out in a forest somewhere. And you're not only not physically in the space, but you haven't designated the wood yet to be a korban or to be something holy. Where you'll see this most profoundly is those families whose turn it was to donate to the Mizbeach after 15 of. And the Gemara gives us a whole list of which family brought when. Vorum. So look what's happening up here. We already learned that the last time to cut wood from the Mizbeach is the 15th above. Because beyond that, we are not permitted to use them for the Mizbeach because there's a chance they have worms. So 15th of is the cutoff. You're no longer allowed to cut wood from the Mizbeach. Yet, if your family's turn is only to bring the korban ha'etzim on the 20th of Elul, you're not allowed to bring the korban, you're not allowed to bring the wood to the Mizbeach yet. Right? Weil demot also they shouldn't damos balang zu hektisch, v'chol eichet isa begizet derachmona isa. So, because if they would bring it now, it would automatically belong to the Eibishter. It would automatically become hektish. That's the expression. As long as it's in that environment of being dedicated to Hashem, it belongs to Hashem. Now, the reason that this has to happen is because if they cut the wood on the 15th of Av, and that wood now becomes hektish on the 15th of Av, when their day on the 20th of Av comes to hand over the wood, it's no longer their ability. They no longer have the ability to be makdish because it's no longer theirs. So it has to, or they can't donate it. You can't donate something that's not yours. So if you makdish the wood on the 15th of Av, then on the 20th of Av, it's not your yom tov of donating wood because you can't donate something which doesn't belong to you. So therefore, come dois, as the other text, zwischen der Christ Eitzim und Idvas Eitzim, seinen die Eitzim bei Segewin Atzichulin. For whatever period of time it was, depending on when your allocation of bringing this wood would be, from the time of the 15th of Av until your date came, you're sitting with a whole lot of wood in your backyard, which is ordinary wood. You haven't done any mitzvahs yet. You haven't created any holiness yet. And the mitzvahs moving as in the pulas achone, from krisas ha'etzim. So therefore, that prep of cutting the wood that's going to be used for the mizbeach, in welcher zetzich niton kedusha, where you can't identify that there's any kedusha yet associated with these activities, is that the full aveklek to meibushin and neifim from bitum b'mitzias legamrei. That's the time in which the person is completely dedicated to Hashem without the smallest hint of self-interest. Wo man tracht in ganzen nicht wegen sich und wegen was ich hab aufgetan, There is zero consideration of myself and what I've achieved. The only thing on the agenda is the Eibishter needs this to be done, therefore I'm doing it. On the far, the good of from Chamisha Asibov. That's why the 15th of Av is such an incredible day. To the extent that there's no day to match it in terms of celebration other than Yom Kippur. The Simcha from Chamisha Asibov is bedugmat Yom Kippur machas b'shana. The Simcha of the 15th of Av is similar to Yom Kippur, which is one unique day on the year. Not only unique because it only occurs once a year, but because it's achas, it speaks to the core of our neshama. Because the fact that a Jewish person should be elated, because I cut wood that later is going to be used in the mizbeach. But for now, it's sitting in my backyard as ordinary wood. The ability to rejoice over a mitzvah that hasn't yet got value, that comes from the essence of the neshama, because the yichidus of nefesh is all about connection and oneness with the Eibishter. So I'm doing what the Eibishter wants, and that's what counts. That will also help us to understand the description of what they did to celebrate with the date on which they celebrated the 15th of Av. What did they do? The Mishnah Zok, very famous, the Mishnah tells us, that on those two dates, the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur, the young girls would go and dance in the vineyards. And they would say three things, and those three things are going to align with the three levels of dedication to Hashem represented by korbanos, by the wood, and by cutting the wood. So what did they say? So they would try and catch, so to speak, the attention of young men on the braises, and then mefaret, and the braise gets into the details of what they would say. The braise tells us there were three categories of girls. Your faith, your shabbat, and the attractive ones. What would they say? Pay attention to which are the beautiful girls, because a person marries a wife for her beauty. Those who came from lineage, who had yichus, who came from good families. So they would say, have a look at who comes from a dignified family. Because you're marrying in order to have children, and of course you want children to have traits of respectable people. And then the Braisa says, "Mecho'ore shebahem." Those who were unappealing, "Meho yomus." What did they say? They would say, "Kumikam l'shem shamayim." You marry because the Eibishter wants it. You dedicate yourself to Hashem. It's got nothing to do with what you're going to get out of it. So shleim as didray sugim, sadim hasim to didray fanim anal in de'etzim. So these three categories of girls, they relate to the three categories of how the wood plays a role in the mizbeach. Zayin for anetzim was a gufa ver nakorim b'fnatzim over mizbeach. There are woods, there's the possibility of wood, which is actually a carbon. Somebody donates it. Which is similar to the first group of girls. They're the attractive girls. Attractive means that there's something innately about them which is attractive. Like the wood is innately holy because it was designated as a carbon. Next level. Then they are the piece of wood that are not brought as a carbon, they're placed on the mizbeach to light so that you can bring a carbon. And there's special times when those things, bales of bundles of wood, have to be donated to the mizbeach. And they would align with those girls from pedigree because it's all about the children, it's all about the family. And Rashi explains what it means that a person marries in order to have children. That if you have children who come from pedigree, come from lineage, people are going to want to connect with them, they're going to want to marry them, etc. But that's very similar to the wood on the mizbeach for the sake of korbanos, which means so somebody else can bring a korban. So you have a good child, so somebody else will want to have a relationship with them. And then on Krisis Eitz in the Mairocha, the third phase, which is the one that the Rebbe illustrates to be the most powerful phase, actually, is when you cut the wood in order to facilitate down the line that you'll be able to bring korbanos. Initially, when the person cuts and takes that wood to store, it has no association, no open association with holiness. It's just regular. That's like the girls that don't have anything that is appealing. You cannot detect any specialness about them. So in the absence of open, visible greatness, ironically, it's dealing with those girls who really don't seem to have anything to offer that you see the greatest dedication. Why are you marrying? For the sake of heaven. Not because I'm going to have somebody in my life who is so special, so beautiful, so, it's from such pedigree. Now, blows for an Eberstein's vegan. This person is marrying because that's what Eberstein wants. But dugma vigret friras dafki in the krisis etin amarocha direkt sich is da wekleik zu ton Hashem shamayim onken hegeshatz moi. And that we're linking to the idea of bringing of cutting the wood, which later you'll be able to bring, but right now it doesn't seem to have any value, doesn't seem to have any greatness to it. And that's got a lesson for us. There are people who say, how do I come to have simcha in serving the Eibishter when I'm doing big, magnificent things, turning the world upside down? When I've completed the whole Shas, when I've completed the whole Torah, oh, that's a reason to have dedication and simcha for the Eibishter. But if I have to take off some of my personal learning time in order to reach out to another person to assist them to come closer to the Eibishter, it's the simcha, befrat simcha gedola mazoi. So where's the room for simcha here? And certainly not for massive celebration. Is the hira, to which, as we've learned between the Chumash and the Tanakh and the principles associated with the Korban Oitzim, the lesson is em mestaka ze mahot gehat megel khatzton mer far de eigene shleimus und hat nit getan kommt der fallen in es khule. There's no question about it. If I could have done more in terms of my own growth and responsibility and learning and I haven't, that's a serious business. Aber die dikitsa is ein aver mekhab mitzva. But we also have a principle that the Gemara tells us that there's no such thing as an avera that can eradicate the value of a mitzvah. When you have that mitzvah opportunity to be able to bring another yid close to the Eibishter, zogt Torah, the Torah tells us clearly, as he brings to the gresa simcha von alle simchas, not only is it something you have to do, you should do, it would be a nice thing to do, that is the generator of the greatest form of simcha that is possible. The kind of simcha that is unparalleled in any other time of the year and was only experienced on Yom Kippur and on Chamisha Asar Be'ov. So therefore, of course, the message for us is not to get totally absorbed in our own sense of our own holiness, but rather to cut those trees, to go out there, to reach out, touch people, bring them closer to the Eibishter, even if it doesn't feel as exciting and spectacular, because that's where the real connection comes from. That's where the real simcha comes from. And in Yitzhak Hashem, that is what brings about the simcha of the Gula HaMikdash V'Hashleimah.